Again, bring greetings to you in Jesus' name. Thankful for the message in that last song we sang about the Lord and His agonizing in Gethsemane, surrendering His will. That is, I think in eternity we'll find that there's where His cross was. It wasn't about the wood and the nails. I think those things were very trivial to Him. So much emphasis is put on just the physical suffering, which was horrible, but yet His real travail was in His will, just like our real travail. That's why we put so much emphasis on our salvation lying in our wills, not just in what we do, but our will determines what we do. We're either willed and yielded to obey, or we're willed and yielded not to obey. So we can say many of the same things as many people, and yet without that willingness, I mean, it's so confusing sometimes trying to preach to others and talk about obedience. But it's not the outward things that we're talking about, even though it will affect the outward. Whenever our will is surrendered to please God and to do His will, these are evidences of things that unite us. And it all comes from a surrendered will. That's why we can read about Christ and His tribulation, or we can sing about it in the garden, how the drops of blood in agony was Him surrendering, "Not my will, but thine be done." This morning I want to talk basically to that, but maybe coming at it from a little bit different. How we can be doing a lot of right things and still just not have our will surrendered to God. I want to read not only that, but in things that we've done or things that we might do. Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12 and verse 12. I'll just begin in there, kind of break in. This, if we recognize here, Hebrews 12, verse 1 is where it talks about being surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. We've talked before about these people, and this follows Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of the faith. And I get the image and the picture of all of these people, these heroes of the faith in eternity. And they're a cloud of witnesses, or a grandstand, kind of to help paint a picture here, of people surrounded around in a coliseum, and down in the middle is the field where the players who are currently playing are playing or working, or they're the ones that are the focus is on. The generation is on that we live in is what is the focus now in this great grandstand. where we're at. We're the focus of the grandstand now in eternity. Heaven, hell, the saints before us are all watching and looking in this world and watching who's playing and who's there and who's doing what. We're being watched by a multitude of people that have gone on before us in eternity. I believe the angels and devils are watching. And they're all watching in this grandstand. And it's our opportunity now. And that's what I want to put most of the emphasis on. And let's go over to verse 12. It says, wherefore lift up hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Here, thinking of this grandstand or thinking of someone in a struggle or in a battle, and we get weak and we get beat up a little bit. Lift up, take courage is what he's saying. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Here he's talking about someone that maybe got roughed up a little bit. Be encouraged. Keep on going. We might not be able to be doing exactly what we want to do right now, but keep on going. The Bible says, after we've done all to stand in Ephesians, if it gets down to where we can do nothing but stand, stand, therefore. I've always been blessed with that. Whenever it gets down to where we can't even take another step, well, stand. If you can't do nothing but crawl, well, crawl. But keep on going. Be encouraged. Don't get discouraged. Don't be turned out of the way. But let it rather be healed. Whenever we're offended, whenever we're set aside, whenever whatever happens, don't let it be a discouragement to us, but let it be healed. Keep on going. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Holiness. Following peace is part of the Christian faith. It's loving our enemies and doing right and doing good. Not just doing just, but doing what the Lord wants. Going beyond justice. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. If we would just take that verse, that should stop all the mouths of the easy believism crowd. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Well, now, some would say that would be impossible, to fail the grace of God. But here the command is to look diligently lest you fail the grace of God. That destroys the definition of the modern day grace, that we're just all under grace and just whatever we do is just all forgotten and forgiven. It says, look diligently, lest you fail the grace of God. Again, like last week, it's not God's grace that's on trial here. It's not God's love that's on trial. It's what we're going to do with it. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Don't let a little bit of discouragement turn into bitterness, because it will take a whole pile of people with it. That's what he's saying here. Guard yourself from allowing these things to happen to us. Springing up trouble you, and thereby many defile, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Here's what I wanted to get to. For one morsel of meat, Esau sold his birthright. He took something temporary. He fell for something temporary. Made a wrong decision. And sold his birthright. Bible says he despised it. He thought little of it. He's willing to trade it for a little something temporary. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. That's probably one of the saddest verses to me in the Bible. Regret. Regret. Afterwards, after he looked back, after it was over, whenever it was time for a blessing, and he was looking for that blessing and wanted it, he had to reflect back and come to the reality that he had lost it. And he sought diligently to find it again. With tears. To find that blessing that he had lost. And it wasn't there. And it wasn't coming back. It was permanent. We have one life to live. One life to live. And at the end of that life, on the judgment day, we're going to go back through our lives. The Lord's going to bring every instance back to our remembrance. Replay our lives. And we're going to sit there and watch that. And we're going to see every choice that we made. And why we made it. Where it could have been. And where it is. In reality, we have one life to live. Esau, when it was time for the blessing, looked back, and it wasn't there. He blew his chance. He blew the opportunity that he had. He made the wrong choice, and there was no correcting it. And now he had to face the stark reality of missing what God had for him. We think of eternity. There's hardly anything worse than the mental torment of what we should have done or what we should not have done or what we could have done to avert a disaster. Whenever we think of this life and we all know of things where people made a wrong decision and it just caused an absolute disaster for someone else. And how hard it is for that person to ever forgive themselves for what they've done to someone else sometimes. Sometimes it's just unavoidable. But sometimes just some little something that we should have done or could have done to have changed that, we didn't do. People have gone absolutely crazy sometimes facing the guilt of what they should have or could have done. Their minds can't even handle the truth. And I think even though there is a fire in hell, and that's terrible, I think one of the worst things in hell is going to be our own minds tormenting us of what we should have done or what we could have done or what we did do. Whenever we had time to correct it. Whenever we go back through our mind and we see others who are lost, others who we've turned aside, or others who we've hurt, and we have to live with that through all eternity. Oh, we'd like to change it. How many times we'd like to go back and fix it? But there's nothing to fix anymore. It's too late. Time has erased that opportunity in our life. We have but one life. Sometimes we get a chance to fix things. What a blessing it is to be able to go back and fix a few things. We've all done things in our life, and I think that's one of the evidences of real repentance, is restoration. A lot of times we think about people that how bad they were, like Brother Brian shared about the evangelicals almost glorifying sin to how bad you was and how now you've cleaned up your life and quit doing things. That didn't speak near as loud to me as if someone's just done something and they went back and fixed it. Whenever they had the opportunity. John the Baptist, whenever they came to be baptized, said, bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. Where's the evidence that you're sorry for what you've done? People you've hurt still out there hurting. Go fix it. Jesus said, don't come to the altar with your gifts. If there's someone out there you've hurt or you've offended and you haven't fixed it, I don't care what kind of gift you bring me. It's worthless. Paraphrase that just a little bit, but I don't think I've done any harm to the scriptures. Because it just doesn't matter. There's not a real repentance there. If you've done wrong, go fix it if you can. Praise the Lord, you have an opportunity. Because there are people that would give anything for an opportunity to fix some of the wrongs they've done. They'd give their own life just to go back for 1 second of time to fix something that they wished they would have done differently. They'd give anything that they had just to fix that one thing. We can't undo the past. Sometimes we can patch up some things that we've done wrong, but we still can't undo the past. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. One little thing. One morsel of meat. One sitting down and eating one meal was all that amounted to. Boy, that would have had to have been a real meal. And here it was, nothing but a bowl of soup that he sold out to. When it came time for a blessing, couldn't be found. Couldn't be found. Found no place of repentance. I remember one time I was out knocking on doors, and I don't remember just exactly all the circumstances, but I had an opportunity to talk to this young family. Well, in fact, they were living, still had apartment buildings in, and they were living in that apartment. And I just felt like I ought to go talk to them sometime. I just ought to take the time just to go visit with them. Just a young family. Had a couple of children, little children. And I just decided, well, I'll just do it some other time. I had witnessed to him a little before. But I just felt like, well, I probably ought to go see him again. And I put it off. And then it just got stronger and stronger. Well, you need to go see him. You need to go see him. And so I finally decided, well, I'm going to go. So I stopped everything then and went to go see them. And I got there and I knocked on the door and no one came to the door. I knocked a little louder and no one came. And I knocked loud enough that the neighbor across the street or across the hall came out and said, are you looking for this couple? And I said, yeah. And she said, well, haven't you heard? I said, heard what? Well, the night before last, they were traveling in their car and had a wreck and they were all killed. Might not have ever done anything. But after I was, felt like I should have went and talked to him, that was the last time I would have ever had an opportunity to. There's nothing I can do about it now but regret it. We only have one life. We only have one opportunity. We only have one opportunity to fully surrender ourselves to the Lord. We only have one chance. We can toy around in this life and kind of hold on to some little pet thing that we want. Some little morsel of meat that we want to hang on to. We just don't want to quite give up all the way to the Lord. Because we held out. We'd rather stay in our little comfort zone than get associated with the cross. Think of the king in Acts chapter 26. Paul has been preaching, been brought before the king for his testimony. Verse 22, it says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue in this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first, and should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spoke for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me. I think that's going to be the saddest cry throughout eternity, is almost. Almost. I almost gave everything to follow Jesus. Oh, I gave 99%. But there was that one little thing that I just wouldn't quite give up. That I just didn't quite want to do. Almost is but to fail. I almost finished the race. Well, did you finish? I almost. Did the work I was supposed to do? Well, did you do it? Almost. Is that going to work? How well does almost work? We've talked about the example of the man that was being chased by the tiger. He went out hunting one day and he took his gun, and he lived in Africa, and he took his gun out and went hunting. And he got out there and he left his house, and he locked the door and put his keys in his pocket. Got his gun, had a bullet in it, heard a tiger. So he went out looking for the tiger, and got out pretty good distance from the house, and just right in front of him there the tiger was. He lifted up his gun and aimed it at the tiger and pulled the trigger. Nothing happened. The gun jammed up. The tiger started walking towards him. The man started walking backwards. And he walked backwards. And he walked a little faster. And the tiger walked a little faster. And he walked about as fast as he could backwards, keeping his eye around. And then he decided that wasn't fast enough, so he turned around and started running, and he ran and ran towards the house, and he could hear the tiger getting closer and closer to him all the time. And he jumped up on the porch and got up to the door, and the tiger was right behind him. He heard him land on the porch. He reached for his key, and he stuck it in the lock, and he dropped it. He almost made it into the house. Almost is but to fail. Almost a Christian is going to be the most miserable thing in the world throughout eternity. I almost surrendered. I almost did what I was supposed to. I almost forsook the world. I almost loved my neighbor. I almost loved God with all my heart. I almost denied myself. I almost stayed at the post that God gave me to stay at. I heard of the testimony of the man that went out preaching, passing out tracts and trying to talk to people for 20 years. And then he just decided one day that there ain't nobody gonna listen. And so he quit. Ten years later, he went to that same corner that he had always been before. And there was a man standing there preaching. And he went up to him and said, "Oh, you're just wasting your time. I did it for 20 years, standing on this very corner, and no one listened." And the man said, "Right here on this corner, when did you quit?" And he said, "Oh, 10 years ago." He said, "You know, I was here about 10 years ago, and there was someone preaching here and talked to me about my soul. And that's why I'm here today." He gave up. Almost. There was no place found for repentance. Think of the song, "Almost Persuaded." Last stanza says, "Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, the bitter wail. Almost, but lost." the decisions we make and the choices we make. Have consequences. We reap what we sow. May the Lord add his blessing. Father, we again come before you, Lord, and we just want to thank you, God, for the opportunity you give us today, Father. Lord, that we can and do have the time, Lord, to start where we are, and surrender, and to follow you, Father, with all our hearts. Lord, may it not be found among us, Lord, an almost, Lord, but that we might be fully persuaded and fully convinced, fully surrendered to do your will, fully surrendered to love you with all our hearts and our neighbor as ourselves, Father. Help us. In Jesus' name. Amen.